Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Hope you're doing good today. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Wow, we've got a lot going on and a couple of items. So there are a couple of big stories I want to talk about, and some breaking news, by the way. BuzzFeed is going out of business. Yet another woke company is getting the heave-ho, and couldn't happen to some better folks. But this is what happens when you publish a woke agenda in your website, your blog, your newspaper, radio station, you name it. Nobody wants to read that garbage. And it goes back to a very simple thing, ladies and gentlemen, is that a majority of this nation would consider themselves to be gun-toting, Bible-clinging, flag-waving patriots. But a majority of the media hate this country. And that's why we have such a skewed look at what's going on in this nation. So I want to start out by giving you an example, and I love it when something like this happens. First of all, I don't love the horror, and I don't love the crime involved, but I do love these moments where we can actually demonstrate and illustrate what wokeness looks like in the mainstream media, and we can expose their radical agenda, and it's irrefutable. So a few days ago, we told you the story about this gentleman, this young man, 16 years old, young boy, he was picking up his siblings 10 o'clock at night, and he ended up, he got lost. He ended up one street over from where he was supposed to be. And you know the story. He rang the doorbell. The homeowner, who happened to be white, the young man was black, homeowner opens fire, shoots this kid. Fortunately, he survives, and it looks like he's okay. I mean, he's going to make a full recovery. That's what they say. And then the guy gets arrested, and he could be facing hate crime charges. It is wall-to-wall coverage. You've probably seen, even in your smaller communities or your towns, this has been a big story, huge story. I want to tell you another story, because on Tuesday, a six-year-old girl in North Carolina was playing in her front yard in Gaston County, playing with a basketball. The basketball rolls into the yard of the next-door neighbor. So the little six-year-old girl ran over to get the ball. And when that happened, the homeowner opened fire on the little girl and her mom and her dad. Now, the good news here is that the little girl survived her injuries. It could have been a whole different story involved here. But this story, and by the way, they arrested the homeowner and the homeowner in jail. But this story did not make the national news. This story no one knows about. As a matter of fact, you are probably hearing for the very first time about this story from Gaston County, North Carolina. And I want to explain the reason why. Because you see, in Kansas City, the gunman was a white man and the victim was a black child. But in North Carolina, the gunman was a black man and the victim was a white child. These are the same stories, ladies and gentlemen. There's no wiggle room here. These are the same stories. So the question is, why is it that the Kansas City story is wall-to-wall international news coverage, and yet the story from North Carolina barely made the local news? Well, it's very simple. It goes against the mainstream media's narrative. You see, the mainstream media wants you to believe that we've got an epidemic in this country, and the epidemic is white-on-black violence, that white people are going around and just randomly gunning down black people wherever they might be. And we've heard that from the race-baiting grifters who are suing all of these communities and going after all of these people. They want you to believe that that's the norm in America, when in fact we know it's not. As a matter of fact, I would say that out of all the talk radio shows in the conservative world, we probably have one of the most, if not the most, diverse. And the reason why is we're just open about these issues. We don't mind talking. I don't mind talking about this kind of stuff. And you have to talk about this kind of stuff. And you have to expose these race-baiting agitators. Now, we can all agree that what happened out there in Kansas City was a horrible thing, and it should never have happened. And if, in fact, this guy is charged with a crime and he's found guilty, even though he's 84 years old, he still has to pay the price. And we have to imagine, we have to hope and pray that the homeowner over in North Carolina, if he is charged and convicted of a crime, will also face the full wrath of the law. That's why we have law and order in this nation. We have rules of conduct. And I don't know what kind of a person would open fire on somebody whose basketball just rolls into the yard. But again, you get to hear on this radio program the hypocrisy, the double standard within the mainstream media. Because ultimately, in the minds of the national media, the white girl, her life doesn't matter. The life of the white girl does not matter. And you need to hear that. And I'm not sure anybody else is going to be talking about this today, but you're going to hear about it right here. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to be taking your calls on this story. Also, we're going to be talking about a crazy, crazy story developing in Tennessee that now has the attention of the White House and the nation's second largest religious denomination, where in Tennessee you have the Southern Baptist leadership actually partnering with Democrats, a rhino governor, and President Joe Biden himself to try and stage a gun grab. And I just have a question for all of the Baptists in our audience. Do you believe that we should have red flag laws in America? Because Tennessee is now the test case. And they believe that if they can advance and pass red flag laws here in Tennessee, they're going to be able to do it in any other state in the union. Because we are an incredibly pro-Second Amendment state. So my question to all of you Baptists out there, because your leaders are out there saying they're speaking on your behalf, and they're telling all of our lawmakers in our state capitol who are about to vote on this, that all of you Baptists out there believe we need gun reform and that we need these red flag laws. So is that the case? All of you Baptists listening to us, are you guys ready to surrender, or at least partly surrender, your Second Amendment rights for the sake of feeling, I don't know, safe? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today.
Congresswoman, let me assure you that we're not letting it go on. We are fighting this.
No, I reclaim my time. You're a liar. You are letting this go on, and the numbers prove it. You can't lie about the facts, Secretary Mayorkas. While you live in denial and sit over there with this attitude that you're doing everything right, you are killing Americans with your policies. And that is a fact. Your policies are killing people, over 300 Americans a day, over 300. And it's outrageous. Let me ask you another question. We talk about
The ranking member is recognized.
You know, we can disagree, but just the fact that we have people watching, you don't have to call a witness a liar. There's a way that we ought to conduct ourselves. And what I'm hearing is not how a majority of this committee conducts business, and we can do better. So I asked that the words be taken down.
The chair asked the gentlelady if she wishes to seek unanimous consent to modify or withdraw her remarks.
I will not withdraw my remarks because the facts show the proof.
So in making a ruling on this, it's pretty clear that the rules state you can't impugn someone's character. Identifying or calling someone a liar is unacceptable in this committee. And I make the ruling that we strike those words.
And there you go. So, and again, my whole point here is, if Mayorkas is actually not lying, then why are we having these hearings? Why are we wasting the taxpayers' money? Because it seems to me he's either telling the truth or he is lying. And it's time for some straight talk up on Capitol Hill. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have with us Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma. Senator, before we get into all of this, I know you guys got pounded by the big tornadoes last night. I hope everybody's doing okay over in your state.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Continue to be able to pray for us in Oklahoma. Central Oklahoma had just over a dozen tornadoes last night, and we had at least three that have lost their lives and a lot of property damage there. And so we do what we do. We do what we call the Oklahoma standard, where everybody prays, then gets to work, puts on their gloves, helps out their neighbor, and that's how it works on it. It's a remarkable state with some remarkable people, but we occasionally do have some severe storms.
I understand we're in that tornado alley, too, here in Tennessee. So certainly we're going to be praying for the good people of Oklahoma. Senator, let's talk about Secretary Mayorkas, because the border is it's not under control. It is not secure. And it's important that people understand how serious the issue is down there.
Yeah, it is very important that people understand. And Secretary Mayorkas continues to use numbers like we have a 95% reduction once we put this new plan in place, as he describes it. Once we put that in place, 95% reduction in people crossing the border illegally from those countries. What he doesn't say is, but the numbers are still going up for every other country. And so while he says we have 95% reduction, it's some fuzzy math on that, because what we've actually seen is about 125% increase overall in the number of people illegally crossing our border just in the last month. So it is dark what is actually happening there. Now, there are some proposals the administration has actually put on the table that when I met with the secretary 2 days ago, I said, okay, where is this going? What are you going to do? Are you actually going to do it? Because they've laid some things on the table that if they actually did it, would make a difference. It's yet to be proven if they'll actually do it. So talk is one thing. Action is another. We'll see what actions they take.
All right. Senator, when you look at where we are with the numbers of people coming across, we're not even talking about city size populations anymore. We're talking about state size populations.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Just in the last 6 months, there's been 1.2 million people that have illegally crossed the border just in the last 6 months. I mean, just let that soak in. There's not many cities in America, even your mega cities that are larger than a million, and there are quite a few states that are smaller than a million. And so 1.2 million people that are crossing just in the last 6 months.
It's just breathtaking when you hear these kinds of numbers and you wonder how in the world are we going to take care of all these people? I just don't get that. You know, we're the budget's off the charts right now, and yet here we are having to take care of millions and millions of illegals coming across the border.
Yep, that's exactly right, and we've got a huge budget issue with you. Thanks for bringing that up as well, because while Kevin McCarthy and Speaker McCarthy is talking about all the budget issues and debt and deficit, there's a lot of folks that are just ignoring it, and we keep coming back to our voting and saying, hey, all these things are connected. The way that they're doing all this illegal immigration and the number of people that are illegally crossing the border, all the things that they're doing to ignore all the budget realities, these things do all tie together.
Senator, I want to switch to another topic here, and I appreciate your time. I know it's a busy day for you guys, but you're really getting a lot of props back in your home state because you're standing up for Oklahomans against the threats of these IRS audits. And I know what that's like. During the Obama years, I was getting audited every other year.
Well, isn't that exciting? Just have a member of the federal government contact you and say, hey, I just want to check your math. It's not really that big of a deal. That's the first term that comes that, hey, they're going to walk through it. What I was trying to be able to press the new leadership of the IRS on is the Biden administration's pledge that they're not going to increase audits what they call past the historic levels for people that make under $400,000 a year. But they've not been willing to define what historic levels are. If you look at different years, those are very, very different numbers for how many people are coming in, and you get a chance to define income very differently. So I was able to press him, get him to a specific year, and trying to be able to get some real limitations on this that we can follow up on the days ahead.
Well, and I hope we can. I really hope we can do that. But again, this is just all a reminder. All of the issues we're facing, whether it's the budget, these IRS audits, the border, elections have consequences, and we're going to have to stand our ground and get out the vote in the next election cycle.
We are, and show up. I mean, that's the biggest issue. People have got to show up. People have got to encourage their friends and neighbors to be able to show up. If we're going to speak out, we've got to win people over as well. And so there's this sense that, hey, there's everybody out there that's on our side, and so we just need to be able to mobilize them. That's true, but we've also got to persuade people that are willing to engage, and most people are not persuaded based on who's angriest.
Well,
so we can't be the angriest people out there. We've got to actually be people that actually bring ideas and to say, this is a better way. If someone's going to crave and say, I wish the country was more like that, then we have to actually live and be like that and say that's a better way.
Senator, I've got about a minute, and I know you're a Christian man, as am I, and these attacks on the Catholics, that coming from the FBI, infiltrating the Catholic, I'd love to get your take on that.
Yeah, I actually met with Christopher Wray on that exact issue and said, what in the world happened? He said, this is a single field office. This is something we checked. We pulled it immediately. We put it in process to make sure that's not happening again. My question is, what is happening among rank and file that people would think this is a good idea to be able to say, hey, watch out for those traditional Catholics because they may all be domestic terrorists? That is insanity that that's in the process. They feel like this is what the Biden administration would want them to put out. What's even more so is Marco Rubio and I are actually talking because the Catholics were kicked out of Walter Reed for doing services for Catholic service members the week before Holy Week, but the week before Easter. They were kicked out, and they put it into a for-profit other organization that then had to go find Catholic priests to be able to help. So we're asking the simple question, why would you do that? And we're walking through to be able to make sure that this administration honors basic religious liberty of every individual of every faith, and that that's protected.
Well, Senator, we'd love to get you back when you get an answer to that question. And if you don't, we still want you to come back, but especially if you do get an answer. And we appreciate you coming on the program today.
You bet. Live what we believe, y'all. It's great to get a chance to visit y'all and pray for the folks in Oklahoma this week.
All right. Well said. Senator James Langford out of Oklahoma. We have a lot of listeners in that part of the country. And, those storms last night, pretty rough. We've got some video. Craziest video I've seen. One of the news helicopters was up in the air. Legendary pilot there in Oklahoma. The helicopter gets pounded with golf ball size hail and blows out the cockpit. You got to get to the website and look at this video. It's unbelievable. Language a little salty, but when you're in a chopper up in the air getting pelted with golf balls, you know, I think you're okay allowed. Just a smidge. We got to take a break. 844-747-8868. Good to have you back with us, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. Sure would love for you to check out our great website. We have an incredible store, by the way, all sorts of great products for you to check out. So if you're looking for something for Mother's Day, we have some great coffee mugs. We have a terrific devotion book, our daily biscuit devotions with withdrawal. Just lots of stuff for you to check out there. All right, we're going to get to the phones here, but I want to go back to this situation with the Southern Baptist Convention leaders siding with President Biden and the Democrats and the Rhino governor of Tennessee, a guy by the name of Bill Lee. They're moving forward on this gun grab legislation, and that's ultimately what it's all about. You know, I noticed something about these guys, a lot of these religious leaders. These are the same people during the Trump administration that were attacking all of you good Christians out there who support President Trump. These are the same people that were saying you were not right with the Lord, that you were backsliding, that you were sinning if you supported President Trump. These are the same people that were out there saying, how dare you turn your sanctuary into a political hall, that you should not be a Christian and do politics at the same time, that any good Christian will stay out of the political process. These are the same people that were out there saying, well, if you fly the American flag in your church house, well, you're a Christian nationalist. These are the same people. And now look at these individuals. They're guilty of doing the same thing they accused you of doing. They are inserting themselves into politics, and they're advancing some sort of a radical, progressive, anti-gun agenda. So apparently, if you're looking at all of these, and I call them woke evangelicals, when you're looking at the woke evangelicals, it's okay for Christians to engage in progressive politics, but it's a red flag for them to engage in conservative politics. I just want to make sure that we all understand what's really going on here. I think we're dealing with a bunch of closet Democrats. And there's nothing wrong with that, but at least be honest and open about it. All right, let's go to the phones. 844-747-8868. Don in Illinois listening to us online. Hi, Don. What's on your mind?
First, I want to thank you. I started listening to Todd Starnes, and I got the emails here on my iPhone. And my inbox is loaded with all the different stories, and it's the first email I look for when I get up, because you guys have your finger on the pulse of what's happening to this country.
Well, Don, I sure appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
Yep. And as a conservative myself who fought against a lot of stuff, I'm in my late 60s, but I fought against a lot of stuff being taught to children to turn them into little woke socialists, and I see the same practice has happened in our seminaries, and we're churning out these so-called religious leaders. I trust no religious leader. I trust Jesus Christ, and I trust Scripture, and that keeps me on the plumb line headed toward heaven and not acting like a little Marxist. And as far as all these so-called Baptists, I've heard when they went down to the citadel of evangelicalism at Wheaton and started bad-mouthing anybody who called himself a Christian who voted for Donald Trump. And they got in there and just, oh, they were so empathetic, you know, and, oh, he's too harsh and things like that. And I'll tell you what's harsh is when we let these kind of people come in and then they side with Democrats to dismantle our Constitution and take away our freedoms one by one. And it's time for biblical Christians to wake up and quit looking for heroes among the woke left, because there are none there. They're all in the same mindset.
Yeah.
And I, for one, am tired of the laissez-faire, oh, well, let's just pray about it. Yeah, pray about it, but then also make a statement, because the media is going to suppress the truth. That's how they live and breathe. And we need to make public how much of the infiltration has happened, even in Christian circles, for decades now. And that's why we have these spineless so-called Christian leaders pushing their agendas in our so-called Christian universities. And that is the beginning of the end of the Second Amendment. And then if you don't have that, you have nothing that the forefathers wanted to grant to a free country.
Yeah, Don, you're right. And look, the whole point of that Second Amendment is to protect all the other amendments from the bad guys.
That's right. So, thanks for all you guys do. I mean, you're absolutely great. I appreciate you guys.
Well, Don, we appreciate you. We appreciate you calling in, first-time caller. We hope you won't be a last-time caller. Give us a holler back, and we appreciate you listening to the program.
No, I will be listening from now on, and thanks again.
All right. Don from Illinois, the land of Lincoln. By the way, a lot of you folks weighing in on the Facebook page, Renee says the intent of the Second Amendment was to allow citizens the ability to fight back against a tyrannical government. We still need this protection. And, you know, Renee, you're right. By the way, this transgender terrorist, that person was never mentioned in this letter that the Baptist wrote to the state Republican lawmakers. They didn't mention anything about the transgender terrorist who shot up the church kids. And also, I heard a lot of stuff about gun control. I didn't hear anything about crime control, right? What about going after the criminals? But you know what? We really, and what's really unfair about all of this, folks, is that we still don't know the true motive for the shooting at the Nashville Christian School. And that's because the police department refuses to release the transgender terrorist manifesto. There is a written manifesto that explains exactly why she did what she did. But they're not releasing that. And I don't think they will release it because I suspect it's going to look very bad on the so-called transgender community. Marcia says, I'm an independent Baptist. I'd die before I'd give up my guns. In fact, I've always trusted Baptists to have enough brains to be pro-Second Amendment out of all denominations. I'm shocked. Oh, I'm shocked too, Marcia. I'm shocked too. Back to the phones, 844-747-8868. Leslie in Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate there. Hi, Leslie. What's up?
Yes, Todd, I'm just really, I have to tell you, when I was listening to Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I love that girl, she just says it like it is, and Boebert, Cruz, Rand Paul, you know, there's just so many great people that are so brave in the Congress of the United States. And to have Marjorie Taylor Greene put down like she did and censored is what she was. And the man who told her, giving her a lecture on her, how she's, expressing herself, he needs to go to Chicago and talk to those kids over there and tell them how to behave and tell their, I'm telling you, I've had enough. You've got Mayorkas that needs to be, the man needs to be in jail, quite frankly, and I'll probably regret this, but I don't think so. The President of the United States and his son, what in the hell is going on in this country? He has a cabinet of people that are mindless wonders. I can't believe what's happened to us. And I've had enough, and I'm not the only one. There are a lot of people in the United States that have had enough of this, and I don't know how to cure it. I have.
You know, Leslie, let me jump in here. We're talking about 6 million illegal aliens who have crossed our border. 6 million. This is a full-on invasion. We're not just – we've already been invaded. Now we are being occupied. And nobody wants to talk about that. And I really have to give Marjorie Taylor Greene credit because, Leslie, she called out Mayorkas for what he was. He's a liar. And if he's not a liar, then we ought not to be holding these committee meetings and wasting the taxpayer dollar. But the man who shut her up was none other than the chairman of that committee, Republican Tennessee Congressman Mark Green.
Well, he's wrong. He shouldn't have done that. He should have stuck with her. But I think it comes down to color. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. I don't think that a lot of these people have got a lot of pressure from the other side of the aisle. And this is just plain wrong. And if he's a Republican, he's not a Republican. What is he? He's not a Republican.
He's a Republican.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't act like a Republican. And he doesn't act, well, there's a lot of liberal Republicans, too. But I got to tell you, nobody seems to care about the State of the Union. I mean, when that man goes on the State of the Union, I remember Pelosi, and she's a Catholic. That's another thing. He and Pelosi are Catholics, and they're stabbing us in the back. I'm a Roman Catholic. When I hear this stuff, I'm thinking, oh, well, you're done now, buddy. So I don't know what to do about this, but I hope that the Republicans have their eyes peeled and start listening to some of this testimony so that the next time we go, you know, Todd, I used to think that probably President Trump might have been, you know, he might have been beaten, but he wasn't. I really, truly cannot believe that the President of the United States won this election. Number one, nobody knew who the heck he was. Now, I'm older, so I know who he is, and he's always been on the wrong side of an argument, and he always will be.
Yep.
But he's just, you know, he's just, this is enough. This is enough. And I'm with Marjorie Taylor Greene, Boebert, Cruz, Paul, all of them that have got something to say about this criminal that is responsible for 6 million people from other countries
that we know of, Leslie. All right, Leslie, I am running late for a break, Leslie, but you give us a call back because you're making a lot of sense, and I appreciate you listening to the program. But Leslie's right here, folks. This is Marjorie Taylor Greene was calling out this guy, and every single thing she said was true. Now, you may not like the way she said it, but why can we not call out a liar? Why can we not call a liar who is lying a liar? How is that some sort of a breach of decorum? It seems to me the breach of decorum would be the person who is lying, which would be Secretary Mayorkas. All right, we got to take a break. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Out of Fox today, Dan Bongino is out. Fox News confirming that Bongino, his show is no more. Bongino says they could not reach an agreement. They were bogged down on the contract negotiations, and so they said, that's it, we're done. By the way, that's the way it works with Fox. They will offer you something, and you better take it, because if you counter offer, they will give you the heave-ho. That's what happened to me, Dan. Sorry to hear it happen to you, but that's the way it goes. So anyway, Dan Bongino, a lot of people are wondering, is this a money-saving cost measure because of what happened with the big lawsuit? I don't know. I don't think so. But I will say I don't believe we have started to see the heads being chopped off for that just yet. I think that is coming. Do I think someone in prime time is getting the heave-ho? No, I don't think so. But you could have others that are going to be the fall guys. But somebody's going down for that. All right, let's get back to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Terry in Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Terry, how are you today?
Yeah, good morning, Todd. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for asking.
Well, I kind of got – some of my thunder was stolen from a previous caller, from Leslie, and I couldn't agree with her more. And I just don't know – I just don't know what the answer is. It just seems like in the last 3 months, there's so much of this has just come to light or come to, like, an awareness of the transgender. And, you know, hey, as Christians – what are we to do with that? Yeah, we're supposed to love the individual, right? but not love the sin. And then, and now we're not even supposed to hate the sin, right? You can't question the sin. And I'm sorry, that's just not what I was taught, how I was raised. And it goes against everything that I believe in.
Well, Terry, now you have it. In the next hour, we're going to play some audio from Leah Thomas, that dude who beat all the female swimmers. He is now advocating on behalf of the White House for this transgender policy that will protect these men who want to compete against biological women. So it's really as if the whole country is topsy-turvy right now in what we believe.
And I don't, but here's the thing. I don't believe that. I don't believe that the whole country is that way. I believe that there are 15 to 20% of the population is very vocal about what they believe in. And they've been basically maneuvered into being as active and militant as they can be. I think there's a good 70% of people that are just shaking their head like, hey, we don't want any confrontation, or we want to just live our lives and not be bothered by this, but put into a corner, what do they really believe?
You see, Terry, I have to disagree with you there. I think that, yeah, I would say those of us our age would probably feel that way. But the concern I have is that we have raised at least a generation of young people coming up through the public schools that have been indoctrinated. They have been shoved, this agenda's been shoved down their throat every single day. And my concern is that we have not seen the ultimate impact that the radicalization of our public schools is going to have on society. Look at gay marriage. Look how quickly that particular issue switched. That was not organic. That was something that was forced through the education system. And that's why I have concerns.
Well, very good, Todd. Thank you.
Terry, appreciate that call. Thank you for listening out there. But again, look, I get where Terry's coming from, and I do think a majority of adults feel that way. But I'm not too sure your kids are. Only if they've been to public school, I think there's a big possibility that your kid's going to be liberal. I hate to say it. That's why you got to get your kids out of the public schools. Homeschool, get them into a private school, or at least they're going to get an education. And they're going to know their pronouns. And that's an added benefit these days. All right. We got to take a break. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Congressman Scott Perry, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. Also, with this crazy audio coming out from Leah Thomas, and also some new information from a looted Walmart in Chicago. Remember, four Walmart shutting down because of all the looting, the pillaging and plundering. And now they're being accused of racism. So we're going to get into that and your calls as well. So if you're on hold, hang tight. We're going to get to your calls. That number, 844-747-8868. That's toll-free number, by the way, 844-747-8868. And in the meantime, head over to our website, Caleb Park, our great team of writers. Man, they are turning out some incredible copy, great stories. And you got to see this insane video of the helicopter getting pounded by golf ball sized hail. Jeez, Lou. We'll be right back, America.
Progressive protects more than just your home and car. You could save when you bundle your motorcycles, ATVs, boats, and RVs. Doesn't that sound good? Like the sound of the wind in the trees as your RV sits parked in the forest. Is that the call of the majestic owl? And there's the sound of a tree branch crashing into the roof of your RV. Oof, I guess their nest was in that branch. But you know what does sound good? You're covered with Progressive. So bundle all your vehicles and home in one place and save with the multi-policy discount. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Wow. It is a great day in America, and it is such an honor to have you with us today, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, 142 radio stations carry this program, and we're just so honored that you have made the decision to hang out with us. We try to have a good time every single day, and we jump into the big stories of the day. But most importantly, we let you have your say as well, and I always love hearing from our great listeners. So we've been talking about crime and violence across America. And I want to talk to the Republicans for just a moment. I know there are a lot of issues, and there's a lot of ground to cover between now and Election Day. All right? No doubt about it. So issues could change. But if the election were being held tomorrow in the United States, I think the issue would be crime. And honestly, I believe the issue is still going to be crime in 2024. And it seems to me if the Republicans want to win, they're going to have to address the crime issue. I understand we cannot look, if you want to talk about 2024 and the election steal and what, that's great, but that's a losing issue. And I'm just as being as open and honest as I can about that. If we have a president who campaigns on that issue alone, we lose. Period. However, if we can address the big issues of the day, and one of them is what's happening in the streets of our major American cities, then I believe we will be able to win the day. And I believe we'll be able to broaden our tent. And by the way, a lot of people say, well, broadening the tent means changing our values. That's the only way. No. You see, the fabric of the tent stays the same. There's just more fabric. But we hold on to our values. We hold on to what we believe to be true. We hold on to the party platform. So anyway, you've got some audio. We've got some audio I want to play for you. One of the Walmarts that's closing in Chicago was looted. And Walmart's not going to come out, and they're not going to explain why they're losing millions and millions of dollars at these stores. But I'm going to tell you why. It's because they're getting looted. Thugs are coming in and they're just stealing everything. They're terrorizing other customers. And by the way, the customers predominantly who are being terrorized happen to be black customers. So this isn't about race. This is about right and wrong. And so we have some audio of a black woman walking through her looted Walmart. This is the store that she goes to shop at. This store is being shut down because of these hoodlums. The store is being shut down because Mayor Lori Lightfoot and the soon-to-be Mayor Lori Lighterfoot refused to do anything about the criminals. And I want you to hear this woman, Cut 14.
Everything is either on the floor. Look at this. Can't even get no food for my kids, G. Look at this. Came in the store to try to buy something because I'm not a thief. Look at this. In my hood, can't even get no food for my kids. Babies need milk. Can't even get nothing for my kids, bro. I feel like an animal, and black people made me feel like an animal. Y'all did this to us.
There you go. Now, I don't know who G is or what her hood is, but I do know that she sounds like a good-hearted person, somebody who just wants to take care of her family. And now she can't go down to the local Walmart because the thugs came in and they cleaned it away. And this is an African-American lady. This is a black lady. And she's clearly describing what's happening in her community. So where are the police? Where are the elected leaders standing up for this woman? That's what I want to know. So the mayor-elect, we call him Mayor Brandon Lighterfoot. This guy is a radical progressive. He wants to get rid of the police, and he wants to, believe it or not, folks, he wants to send counselors to the scenes of crime. And he's out there defending, and over the weekend, you had hundreds of teenagers rioting in the streets. So yesterday, the mayor-elect, Brandon Johnson Lighterfoot, goes out there, and he's defending the teenagers who were pulling motorists out of their cars and beating them up. They were looting and pillaging stores. This mob of black kids attacked a white woman and her black boyfriend. Thank goodness that a black Good Samaritan was there. You say, Todd, what's going on? Black this, white that, Hispanic this, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to play the game that the Democrats want us to play. the Democrats, when you start mentioning race, it freaks them out. Oh, you're a racist. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. All right. I challenge people. Come on the program. You call me a racist? Come on the program. Where's your evidence? Where's your proof? And there is none. So the mayor-elect comes out. Here's cut number two.
Look, demonizing children is wrong. We have to keep them safe as well. Have you ever taught middle school? I have. Have you ever raised young people? Do you understand the risk that young people take just because they're young? Do you know that home plate is at the bottom of my stairs? I found that out when my son was sliding down those stairs trying to score. They're young. Sometimes they make silly decisions. They do. And so we have to make sure that we are investing to make sure that young people know that they are supported.
Okay. This guy is a moron. First of all, the government doesn't need to raise your child. Your child should be able to know right from wrong. Your child should be able to behave themselves and, by the way, be in your home at sundown. Right? Back when I was growing up, your mom kicked you out of the house, said, don't come back till the street lights come back on. That's the way we were raised back in the summertime in the South. But now you got these kids, 8, 9, 10 years old, wandering around the streets. And I'm not making this up. This is coming from the police chief, not in Chicago, but in Memphis, Tennessee. You have 8, 9, 10-year-old kids wandering around Beale Street after hours in the dark. So this is about mommy and daddy. We don't need to build another basketball court. We don't need to build another community center. This is about knowing right from wrong. But the guy says the kids are just out there doing silly stuff. So apparently pillaging and plundering a downtown commercial district is just silly fun. All right, let's get to the phones here. We're going to go to Rebecca in Maine. Rebecca, WLOB, welcome. What's on your mind?
Thank you so much for having me, Mr. Starnes. First of all, the new mayor-elect, he's full of it. I mean, he is launching a crock. Children need to learn accountability from a very early age. That being said, I hate to be that person to say it, but that woman is, you know, is coming out and speaking about how things look in her local Walmart. The reason why it looks is because she and the rest of them are putting people like that mayor-elect in office. You have to step up. You have to make the changes. You cannot expect, you know, the same, what do they say, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting change is the definition of insanity. That's what we are experiencing in Chicago.
Rebecca, someone moments ago, our good friend Mary Walter, who fills in for me, sent me some video out of Philadelphia, and it's of the Target store. There, it's mayhem inside the Target. People pillaging and plundering. One guy's riding around on his bicycle. This is, look, if you keep voting Democrat, these stores are going to keep pulling out of these cities.
Yes, sir.
But you're right. You keep voting for this stuff and you're surprised when nothing changes. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
Rebecca. Exactly. Rebecca, thank you for calling. You're making a lot of sense today. I mean, you are. And God bless you. Let's go to North Carolina. Mike, listening to us on WSIC. Now, Mike, I understand Dylan tells me that you're a former basketball player and coach. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, I am, Todd.
Wow.
And really enjoyed it. And the connection to what you're watching is that I don't know if you're a fan of the NBA, but we had a guy, Draymond Green, who got grabbed by a player, but instead of just pulling away and letting the other guy take the technical, which he got, he stomped him in the chest and pretty vigorously in a way that could have really seriously injured the guy. And he then he went in the stands. He's getting the fans all riled up. The guy's got like 100-something technical fouls, 4 suspensions, cost the Warriors. But you got people defending him on the TV. So when you have national leaders trying to defend egregious, or I mean, he punched LeBron James below the belt, threw a ball off Westbrook's head. The guy's just horrible. He needs to be thrown out. We can vote for good leaders, but we also need accountability in our national vehicles. And I called up ESPN and told him, I said, hey, having somebody defend him is criminal. This is about the safety of the fans, the other players, not his right to do whatever he wants.
You know, Mike,
sadly, that's what we're seeing.
Mike, what is it? Wow, this has been maybe about a year ago. We had just one of the top meteorologists in Memphis on TV on the Fox station. And he actually called out Draymond Green, and I think he called him, you know, a Neanderthal, or the behavior was a Neanderthal. He got fired from his job because he was accused of being a racist. I mean, when you look at Draymond Green's behavior, he is being a Neanderthal.
No, he's a thug. He's a thug. I mean, he's assaulted other players. He gets it. And no concern about the safe. You know, you're at another arena. You just kicked their player in the stomach. You've been ejected. And for 5 minutes, you're running around in the stands. You could have a riot. You could have lots of people hurt. You know, the league should a long time ago gotten rid of him.
Yep.
But if we tolerate this in our government, in our sports, you know, we'll end up like they almost had to do in France this year and ban all fans from going to soccer games because people are throwing things. And so it's not surprising that impressionable kids think if it's okay for him, then why can't we rob a Walmart? Why do we have to follow the law? Why do we have to follow the rule of law? We can just do what we want.
Fair point. Mike, you asked a question, though, whether yours truly, your professional talk radio host, noon to 3 Eastern, is a fan of the NBA. And I've got a response to that. Kyle, cut number 8. That's what it sounded like last night at FedEx Forum. Whoop at that trick, as a, that's kind of our slogan down here in these parts. So, go Grizzlies.
Well, I love basketball. I love all sports. I just helped out this morning for 4 hours at the Special Olympics. It was just great. I got to do the invitation. We had hundreds of people out there celebrating the good things in sports. And we just need to focus on that and not let some hoodlums ruin our games and ruin our society.
Mike, I'm with you, and I appreciate those kind words. Good for you being out there, and that's just a noble effort you're doing. And what a way to really reach those kids that might be on the edge is to get them involved, to get them on an athletic team, show them a little bit of discipline, and help them develop their skills. That's it. That's life right there. And so, Mike, we appreciate you calling in today. Folks, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, Tony in Iowa wants to talk about the Baptist and the guns. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. It's just heartbreaking what's going on out there in Chicago, Philadelphia, New York City. Just really terrible. Oh, by the way, I've got it. You know what? Let's go to the phones, and then we'll try to get to this audio. A mental health counselor says losing weight is fat phobic. So if you're a tub of lard, you're going to have to stay that way. Otherwise, if you're trying to get to that girlish figure, you might be in trouble with the pro-fat people. All right, let's go to the phones. Iowa, and Tony is on the line. Hi, Tony. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. I've always been a Southern Baptist, and I'm starting to reconsider that. But I happen to know that there's a handful of people in our congregation that do conceal carry to church, including the pastor. And here a few years ago when we had the church shootings, he came up before the congregation, and he told the congregation that his church is not a gun-free zone. And I think we need a lot more of that.
Oh, well, good for that preacher. Good for him. And I suspect that's the way it is in a lot of churches, you know, around the nation. What gets me, Tony, and I'm a Southern Baptist too, and we all know, and you know this as well, our churches are autonomous. So when somebody's out there saying they're speaking on behalf of Southern Baptist, they're not, because nobody's called to ask my opinion from Southern Baptist headquarters.
Nobody's called me.
Mm-hmm. There you go. What part of Iowa, Tony?
Rockwell, Iowa.
Rockwell, Iowa. All right. Well, we've got a couple of radio affiliates out there in that neck of the woods, KXEL over in Waterloo, and a few other great stations out there. So we love all you folks out there in Iowa.
Hey, Todd, I got another comment, a little short, funny comment about the transsexual stuff going on.
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
There's not a man out there that when he was a young man, just a young boy, just learning about sexuality, that didn't tuck everything up between his legs and look down and say, look, I'm a girl. And if we go by what they want to do now, every poor little guy that's ever done that's going to get everything cut off.
Tony, you're killing me. You're killing me, Tony. You're killing me. All right.
Have a great day.
I appreciate you calling. Wow. Tony from Iowa. We got to play this Leah Thomas stuff, and it's just mind-boggling. Cut number 9.
My name is Leah Thomas. I'm a transgender woman, a former college swimmer, and the first trans athlete to be named Division I NCAA champion. I started swimming when I was 5 years old, and it has taught me so much. It has given me so many opportunities to learn, grow, develop, and connect with my peers.
It doesn't sound like a woman.
Opportunities that I wouldn't have gotten if I didn't have access to athletics. That's why it breaks my heart to see trans kids across the country lose out on these opportunities. The Department of Education has proposed a new rule for Title IX regarding transgender athletes. This rule would prohibit blanket bans on transgender kids, especially in grades K through 8. However, it would not prohibit discrimination against trans kids in the high school and college levels under the guise of competitive fairness. This rule is a good start. However, it is not enough. During this time of intense anti-trans backlash, the trans community needs explicit protections from discrimination in order to live our lives freely and equally.
Shouldn't his voice be higher?
Luckily, this rule is not final. We have a 30-day period to urge the Biden administration to amend the rule and grant equal protection for all transgender kids, because all trans kids deserve the opportunity to compete and play in the sports they love without compromising who they are. Join me in commenting on this proposed rule and demanding equal protection for all transgender athletes.
That ain't no woman. It's a man.
Wow. Yeah, that's Leah Thomas. So this is the guy who says he's a woman. And that's all it took. That's all it took. He said, you know what? That's it. I'm 6'2". I weigh 200 pounds. I have a deep voice, and I'm not changing it. And that was enough. The NCAA said, you come on in, just jump into the pool and smack around the girls. And he did. And he did. But like Austin Powers said, that ain't a man. We'll be right back, America.
It's a man, baby.
Progressive protects more than just your home and car. You could save when you bundle your motorcycles, ATVs, boats, and RVs. Doesn't that sound good? Like the sound of your boat cruising along the intercoastal. And there's the sound of the prop hitting a really big rock. And now the sound of waves because the engine stopped. But you know what does sound good? You're covered with Progressive. So bundle all your vehicles and home in one place and save with the multi-policy discount. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, if you miss any of our interviews, you can go back and listen to those at the Todd Stearns Show podcast free of charge. We provide that to you as a service. 1.2 million subscribers. We like to make it 1.3, so head over there and you can download the podcast free of charge. Also, our newsletter at toddstearns.com. All right, so House Speaker Kevin McCarthy unveiling the Republican plan to deal with the nation's debt crisis. The plan from Republicans would raise the debt limit by $1.5 trillion into next year, imposing a long list of key Republican priorities, including spending caps, which we are a huge fan of. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, Chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Congressman Scott Perry, joins us from Pennsylvania. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Well, I'm doing as well as I can be, Todd, considering the circumstances, which, as you know, are far from perfect. But, we got into this mess because leftists on the left and quite honestly, leftists on the right have put us into this circumstance where, you know, we have reached our credit card limit. And of course, you know, President Biden, with the normal Obama kind of viewpoint, thinks that we should just increase the credit card limit and just keep spending us into oblivion on things that we don't need. Todd, you know, I don't know whether you know this or your listeners know this, but, you know, during COVID and stimulus, we spent $750 million for prisoners, for their stimulus. Like, you know, I mean, that's the kind of crazy stuff that, you know, shouldn't even be discussed in Washington, yet D.C., yet this guy in the White House says he's not going to negotiate. Well, if he wants to default and if he wants to crash the markets, it'll be his business, because I think that we have, look, we should not celebrate this, Todd. We should not celebrate the fact that we've got, you know, this debt ceiling raise, you know, essentially paying the bill for what has already been spent by the left. But if we can get these systemic foundational changes, especially the mandatory programs, including these spending caps, you know, we'll get $1 trillion out of the first year in savings and $4.5 trillion over 10. Now, you never count on what happens in the out years. I know we've been burned plenty of times on that before. But with $1 trillion in the first year and knowing that the appropriations process is right behind the debt ceiling vote, we have the opportunity finally as Republicans to drive the cost curve down and bring this thing back into balance. And, oh, by the way, for all the complaining that that Biden is doing and saying he won't negotiate, if we just kept with the last budget that Barack Obama did with Joe Biden as his vice president into 2024, we'd actually be in a surplus under that budget right now. So this is not unreasonable. This is actually very reasonable. And, you know, not spending money on things like COVID or this this wealth transfer where you pay for college loans for an education you didn't receive, clawing that money back and making sure that it goes to the Treasury instead of out, you know, among prisoners or whoever else we spend money on, is the right thing to do to get our fiscal house in order.
Yeah, and Congressman, again, I know the White House says it's dead on arrival. This doesn't have a shot. So let's just say there is a standoff. Will Speaker McCarthy blink, or do you think he's going to hold his ground here?
Well, look, as you know, Todd, we were involved in the Speaker's challenge in the beginning of the year, where what we ended up with was a set of tools for whoever the Speaker was going to be to stop being rolled by the Senate and the White House. Now, you have to pick up the tool and use it. But I will tell you, I personally reminded the Speaker on Tuesday morning in conference that we call that the Old Testament way of doing things. We are living under a new covenant, under the New Testament. He has the tools, and he can just let Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer know that their stuff is dead on arrival in the House. He will not have the votes for it. And, you know, we're not going to be responsible for a default. You know, what they try and make you be in a position is of either bankrupting the country or defaulting. We're no longer bound to be in that position because we gave the Speaker the tools. We can just reject their bankruptcy-causing bills, and they're going to have to get into the position and the mindset of it's going to be their job to make sure we don't default.
Good for you. I'm with you, and I know our listeners remember those promises, and we're not going to forget them, you know, from Speaker McCarthy, and like, so far, so good. And I appreciate that from him, and I really appreciate the House Freedom Caucus, because none of this would be happening without you guys.
Well, you're absolutely right. And Todd, I'll just remind you, I don't know, I think we did talk about this. We in the Freedom Caucus had a press conference in the beginning of March, knowing that this was coming and looking at our colleagues who didn't want to seem to get in line on anything. And Freedom Caucus members, including myself, have never voted for a debt ceiling increase. But we said, look, we're in the majority. We have to govern. We can't let the Democrats control this thing or it's going to be really terrible. So what can we do? And we've put out a list of things that if these things happen, we could support solving this debt crisis. And I'm happy to report to you that we got every single thing that we asked for. And that's just the Freedom Caucus, the vast majority of the Republican conference is there, including work requirements, including rescissions, including taking back the money from the IRS, including taking back the money from the so-called Inflation Reduction Act and these $272 billion in Green New Deal tax credits that that the Wall Street says is actually going to amount to $1.2 trillion or more. All that stuff, Todd, is in this piece of legislation. And the Freedom Caucus has been driving this message, has been leading on it. And look, if you can't trust the Freedom Caucus to be conservative, then all hope is lost. But I will tell you, we don't celebrate this as a victory. Raising the debt ceiling is not a victory, Todd. But I will tell you this. This rescission and savings package, there's been nothing like it in your lifetime in Congress. The amount of savings is unprecedented when we pass this with 218 votes.
I think that's just terrific. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Scott Perry, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, one final question before we let you go. We've been following these developments, the attacks on the Catholic Church by the Biden administration and the FBI. Do you think we are going to get to the bottom of all of this? I know this is really concerning to a lot of people around the country.
Well, you're absolutely right, as it should be concerning. And, you know, it's just one more instance of what's right is wrong and what's wrong is right. I do have faith that we are going to get to the bottom of it through the various committees, not the least of which, of course, is judiciary and the oversight, which I'm happy to sit on with Chairman Comer. The question really is, Todd, is there going to be an accountability by prosecutors after we lay bare the civil rights violations that have been forced upon the people by their government? And, of course, unfortunately, we're relying on Merrick Garland's Department of Justice to do that. Now, the only upside to be to that when he doesn't pursue justice is that it will just make and continue to make the case for his eventual impeachment.
Yeah. Good, good. All right, Congressman, we got to leave it there. Always appreciate the great work you and the House Freedom Caucus are doing. We know you've got our backs, and we've got your back.
Well, thank you, and God bless you and your audience. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Congressman Scott Perry, there you go. So they're drawing the line in the sand, and there's no backing out of this. So if the government shuts down, it shuts down, and it's on Joe Biden because the Republicans have done their job. And yes, there was an increase to the debt ceiling, but there were guarantees written in that spending will be either capped or reduced. And this has the full backing of the House Freedom Caucus. It's a good compromise, and it's a good first step to getting our spending under control. So I say good for you, House Freedom Caucus. Without those guys, folks, yeah, this wouldn't be happening. Not at all. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I don't know if you've been watching Newsmax, but there's a new host on the channel, and he's really doing a great job. His name is Carl Higbee. He hosts a show called Carl Higbee Frontline. After 9/11, Carl joined the Navy SEALs, and he's a patriot, and he spent almost a decade fighting for America. Now Carl is fighting every night for America on Newsmax, and that's a good thing. You want to watch Carl tonight, Carl Higbee Frontline. You're going to be able to get the latest on all your political news and the chaos in Washington. Man, the lineup at Newsmax is just incredible. Now they've got Greta Van Susteren, Eric Bolling, Jen Pellegrino, Mike Huckabee, may even have, I don't know, well, we'll see what happens down the road. But a lot of incredible conservative talent on Newsmax. By the way, you got to switch to Newsmax if you haven't made the switch. It's on all major cable systems, and you can also download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. That's what I did. And be sure to watch Carl Higbee on Frontline tonight.
The crackling flame, the piercing heat. We were all born with a fire burning deep within our bellies. For me, Gustavus Swift, I turned my fire into the creation of Swift Foods back in 1855. For you, it might simply be to smoke a tastier rack of ribs than that blowhard Steve, Go on, find your spark. Swift Foods, inspiring extraordinary meals since 1855.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I got to play this audio for you. I just don't understand these mental health counselors. A lot of them actually need professional help themselves. But here's one who says that all you people out there losing weight, so you want to maybe fit into that lovely bikini ladies, and you want to slim down. Well, if you do that, then you're actually committing an egregious offense. I guess it's a hate crime because you're fat phobic. Take a listen. Cut six.
Another great question. This person was asking if there is any time in which intentional weight loss is not fat phobic. I'm going to say 99.9% of the times, if you are intentionally losing weight, it is fat phobic. I'm leaving that point little 0.01% in case I am truly, truly wrong, but I don't think I am. And here's the reason why. I'm not saying if you exercise and happen to lose weight that is fat phobic. I'm not saying if you start a medication and you happen to lose weight that is fat phobic. I am not saying that if you're going through any type of, you know, illness and that is altering your body in some way that is fat phobic. I'm saying when you are intentionally exercising to lose weight, altering your diet to lose weight, doing any activity intentionally to lose weight is fat phobic. And the reason why is because you are intentionally attempting to make your body smaller to fit into what narrative? The narrative that smaller is healthier, even though we've already discussed why that's not true. I know there was another comment on this video that said something along the lines of, when I'm lighter, I don't have as many issues with my mobility. And that may be a correlation, but it doesn't necessarily mean that extra weight is a causation, especially if you are not in care of somebody like a physical therapist that is specifically certified or has previously practiced physical therapy with a fat body. And I say that because as a personal trainer with a fat body, I know that movements impact people differently based on their body size, type, shape, mobility, a million things. So pretty much no, there is no time in which intentional weight loss is not fat phobic. That's just kind of the way it is.
Is that true? And I'm curious to hear from any of you that are trying to lose a few pounds. I'm one of them. You know, I'm out there trying to slim down. And, you know, I'm cutting back. Does that make me fat phobic? Ladies and gentlemen, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. It reminds me of the story we talked about yesterday or day before yesterday, where you've got this, I'm just going to spitball here, about a 600-pound woman who is very upset with the FCC, the FAA, and she wants the Federal Aviation Administration to require airlines to provide free extra seats for passengers of girth. So in other words, if you can't fit your body in one normal seat for an airline passenger, then you're going to have to purchase an additional seat. And she said, no, we're not doing that. You've got to give that to us free because that's a form of discrimination. Do you find that to be true? Let's go to Mike in Georgia. Mike, are you fat phobic?
Yeah. My lady don't know what the hey she's talking about. Let me tell you something. This is straight up. I'm 80 plus. My wife is 74 plus. Okay, 2 years ago, she started college. She didn't diet. She did what you're supposed to do. Just, if you're back off from food, anybody can lose weight. That's a known fact. Well, she kind of did that and lost about 60 pounds. And as of this day, she is not taking, she was diabetic. She is not taking diabetic pills. She's diabetic free, I guess you might call it. And she's lost 60-something pounds, and she's 70-something years old. She don't take blood pressure medicine. I'm 80-something years old, and I weigh 140 pounds, and I don't take blood pressure medicine. And we all get out and have a good time. So you can't tell me that, you know, by losing weight don't help.
Well, good for you. You know, Mike, Grandmother Starnes, who is a beautiful woman, Grandmother Starnes, back in the day, she was a model, but she grew up in the country over in South Carolina, grew up in the country. And so back in those days, and we're talking about she was born, I think, in 1913, 1914. They would send you to school, and lunch would be bacon grease and some bread. And it was not exactly a healthy diet by today's standards. But you know something, Mike? She lived to be over 100 years old.
Absolutely. Anybody takes these, if they would listen to me or anybody else who's been here, you know, all these diet pills they take, they give a fortune for them on a daily basis. And I wish they'd pay me a nickel for every time. I can tell them how to lose weight, and I can bet on it. Now, just back off on your meals. Just don't get up there and eat all day long, you know.
Mike, I went down to the barbecue joint because I'm on a diet. They said, would you like the regular Mr. Starnes? I said, make it a half rack. And you know what? I'm losing a little weight. And so,
exactly. Exactly.
Still enjoyed the food. That's it. You know, Mike, it's true. When I had to have my aortic heart valve replaced, it was a birth defect. They went in and looked at all the arteries, and the doctor came in. He says, I'm stunned. Your arteries are clear as a bell. I told him gravy's a lubricant, Doc. What do you want me to say?
Good for you.
All right, Mike. God bless you, sir. I like you. And please tell tell the missus congratulations on that weight loss. Good for her. Yeah, folks, it's all in moderation, as they say. But you know what? We've got third helpings coming up in the next hour. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Stick around, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. A very special hello to all you folks riding around on your lunch hour, hanging out with us today, and a very special hello to all of our listeners in the great Commonwealth of Virginia. Man, we've got radio stations all over Virginia, one of our larger states, also Georgia. So we're doing our best to spread the message of conservatism and also laughter across the fruited plain. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us Scott Parkinson, who wants to be the next senator from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Scott, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Todd.
Now, Scott, I understand that you worked previously for Ron DeSantis, working for the Club for Growth. Why do you want to be the next senator from the Commonwealth?
That's a great question. And, you know, the reality is we've got the opportunity right now to take out a career politician in Tim Kaine. Tim Kaine was on the ballot in 2016 with Hillary Clinton. And for a long time, people in Virginia thought that he was this blue dog Democrat that would work well across the aisle. Well, since 2016, he's taken a leftward lunge toward progressivism. And now he's supporting all the liberal socialist policies that I think are destroying our country. In fact, he even votes with Bernie Sanders 94% of the time. And so when you start to look at the record of Tim Kaine, and I also worked for three United States senators in addition to some of those other positions that you mentioned, I've got the ability to talk about the policies and the economic impact that Bidenflation is having now on the middle class. We also have a really, really important public safety issue here in Virginia. We know that fentanyl is destroying communities, and it's we had a really high profile overdose here at Wakefield High School that a lot of parents and folks are talking about up here. Additionally, we've got this big parents' rights issue. It continues to be a sustained issue out in Loudoun County. So I want to talk about those big issues and how Tim Kaine and the Democrats are responsible for getting us where we are today.
Now, Scott, you know, the big issue, especially within the Republican Party, is conservative bona fide credentials. One of the things that I think was really shocking about President Trump was that he actually delivered on many of his major campaign promises, which is kind of unusual for our side of the aisle. And I'm wondering yourself, you know, you've been a conservative for a long time. How important is that going to be for you to deliver on those campaign promises you should make out on the campaign trail?
Well, with President Trump, it was promises made, promises kept. And another conservative hero, Jim Jordan, has a line where he says we should just do what we said we were going to do. And the reality is, even in a swing state, if you fulfill the campaign promises that you made, people are going to respect you and they're going to like you. But when you break those promises, when you flip-flop, when you don't have the courage or the spine to do the right thing, to stand up and say no, that's when voters get upset. And, you know, when you go back to 2020, we needed more people in Washington that were able to stand up against Anthony Fauci, against all the massive legislation that was coming before us in a so-called emergency fashion. And there just weren't enough conservatives that were able to hold the line. And that's part of why I'm running. Tim Kaine and Joe Biden have destroyed the middle class. I've got four children myself. I think a lot of parents were home during virtual learning while they were also telecommuting for work. And the experience that we had in my household was very much eye-opening. And I think that that happened all across America. They infringed upon our rights. They wanted to mandate vaccines for kids. They locked us down. They killed and closed businesses. And we're feeling that impact now, and I think it's going to translate to the future of our children, my children, in terms of economic prosperity and opportunity. $7 trillion pumped into the economy. Now we've got the highest level of inflation in 41 years. And that level of inflation is 16.6% just since 2020. And unless your wages have kept up by that much, the bottom line is you're worse off today than you were at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah, that is a very fair point to make. Scott Parkinson, folks, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, running for the U.S. Senate in Virginia, the website scottparkinson.com, that's scottparkinson.com. You want to go and check that out. And Scott, I know, you know, looking at some of your track record, it's very clear that you are a conservative and that you've made some sacrifices along the way and you've had some setbacks because you have stood your ground and you've asked the tough questions that needed to be asked. And I appreciate that. And I think that's going to do well for you out on the campaign trail as you bolster your bona fides.
Well, thanks. I think that there's a big conservative message that people are willing to listen to now because of the radicalism of these career politicians that are losing their way, the uniparty here in Washington coming together, and that's what's bankrupting us. I'm obviously a fiscal and social conservative, and I think that these issues today are much more receptive to the voter in Virginia, in thanks in large part to our governor, Glenn Youngkin, who laid out the blueprint of public safety, parents' rights, and a strong economy. So that's what we're going to be talking about in 2023 and 2024 in our mission to defeat Tim Kaine.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. Again, the website, scottparkinson.com. Scott, we appreciate you coming on the show. Good luck to you out there on the campaign trail.
Well, thanks for having me so much, Tim. Todd, sorry.
That's all right. Yeah. I definitely don't answer to Tim. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it. So there you go. It really is one of those days, isn't it? All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. We're going to your phones. Coming up a little bit later, Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee is going to join us. Again, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
The following is a message from the future, sent by Jamie from Progressive.
Back in 2023, you could get help from Progressive Online through our mobile app or over the phone. But here, in the future, we can communicate with you through telepathy. Now, I don't think anyone in 2023 has mastered telepathy yet, but if you have, then you can totally read my thoughts right now. And yes, I did leave the oven on. Wow, you're good at this.
That was a message from the future. Get the help you need today with Progressive.
Do you smell smoke? I really should go.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers.
You ever have just one of those days? I think I'm having one of those days. Am I getting punked? I don't know. I do not know. Anyway, welcome back. I'm rather excited, though, to see that a couple of my favorite callers, all you guys are my favorite callers. Am I allowed, is a talk show host allowed to have special callers, favorite callers? Would other callers feel slighted? I don't. You know what? I just take all that back. We're just, Kyle, just rewind and we're going to do this all over. Welcome back to the show. Good to have you with us. Let's go to the phones. Connor in Boston, who may or may not be one of my favorites. Hey, Connor, what's going on?
Hopefully I'm on the top 10 list, though.
Okay, we'll count you. Number one. We got you up there. You're good. You're good.
As long as I'm above Gary the Liberal, I think I'm happy.
Well, that's iffy. It's all about the phone connection.
But, you know, I'll tell you, it's been a while. It has been a while. You know, I'm working, trying to pay my taxes, you know, to pay for Hunter Biden's Malibu mansion. You know, it just seems like the taxes just keep going up. So I apologize. It's been a minute, my friend.
No, I understand. You're a working man. You got to do what you got to do.
Got to pay the bills, you know. But, mm-hmm. You know, that still hasn't distracted me from what's going on right now and how, like, your previous guest, that candidate, you know, we need more candidates like him, more parents who are just jumping in there, you know, who want to go up against these incumbent liberals, right? The American people are hungry for that. And I think really, like, when you have free and fair elections, you just wipe the floor with these liberal radical candidates like Tim Kaine. I mean, that's Hillary Clinton's running mate right there. I mean, it should be a no-brainer for most people.
Connor, I didn't want to bring this up with the guy, you know, because, again, I like him. I think he's a solid candidate. But back in 2018, this is from Politico, so you can take that for what it's worth. But they say that he submitted his resignation from the Republican Study Committee. And the reason why is because, again, this is Politico's reporting. He was really upset that Republicans were basically giving lip service to immigration reform. And he said that they were phoning it in on a conservative immigration bill and called him out on it. And I'm thinking, wow, good for you. So
somebody that has a backbone, you know,
that's
what
it.
We need out there.
And you
somebody
can.
Somebody who's not going to be a rhino Republican. That's like the worst possible, like, slap in the face to every Republican voter is to vote somebody in there. They talk a big game, but then you find out they're a rhino and then you're just stuck with them. There needs to be a way we can just recall these people.
You know, you know, Connor, I go back to this audio we played earlier. MTG getting called out because she said Mayorkas was a liar, and they said she was out of line. I don't think she was, and I think that's the problem, is that we're not confronting this head on. If the man's not lying, there's no reason for us to be having a committee hearing.
100%. And like I said, we just need, like, MTG, for instance, we need more people out there who aren't afraid to, you know, get their boots dirty, get their hands dirty, you know, jump in there and brawl a little bit, you know. I think Mad Dog Mattis said it, like, back in the Trump administration. You know, I like jumping in there and brawling with people. We need people like that in politics, you know.
That's it. That's it. You doing well otherwise, Connor?
I'm doing fantastic out here, you know, just making the best I can, you know, in Joe Biden's America, the president, I'm using air quotes right here, and just, you know, being hopeful that we can get some Republican candidates in there and, you know, make things as good as they were when, you know, before the president, air quotes, took office, you know.
I hear you. Good for you. Connor, don't be a stranger now.
Never am. I'll call back next week.
All right. All right. Connor from Boston, one of our millennials. And we have a lot of millennial listeners to this program, and we love all of them. All right, let's go back to the phones, 844-747-8868. Miss Janice in New Orleans, how are you today, Miss Janice?
Just doing the best I can, Todd.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all?
Yeah, but I really miss my husband.
Yes.
Every day, it's just a struggle, you know?
And, of course, Miss Janice, we have a lot of new listeners, and so your husband passed away recently, and he was one of the radio greats there in the New Orleans radio market, very well respected, well known, and can we say the radio station that he was worked for several back in the
day. He worked at WRNO back in the day with the Rock of New Orleans.
Great
it was
station.
Called.
Yep.
He worked at WNOE. He worked at WTIX. He worked at WLTS. He worked at WWL. And he also worked before he moved here years ago, many years ago. He worked in the radio stations in other parts of the country, too. That was his favorite thing in life to do. He did other jobs. He had other jobs, you know, in his life. But radio was his number one thing.
That's great. Well, we've been through all of that with you.
I wanted to tell you something here, Todd.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard about this or not. Okay. It says here, an online Christian preacher has been ordered by a Washington County judge in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, to stay silent on social media for 5 years after he expressed his moral and religious concerns in posts about a church that endorses same-sex marriage and a public drag queen performance in front of children. Now, here's a man expressing his First Amendment right, and he does have lawyers. He has some attorneys right now, nonprofit organization, the Rutherford Institute, and they are going to be working with him. But this is absolutely deplorable. We have the right to First Amendment. People can go out in the streets and scream, what do we want, dead cops? With no repercussions and be on the internet, but this preacher is going to be treated this way? This is absolutely deplorable. It really is. And I'm looking here to see.
Let's not mention his name, Janice.
Okay.
We'll look into it. And I've got the story up. This is happening in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And of course, we have a great affiliate there. So I'm going to reach out to our affiliate, find out what's going on. But I understand the Rutherford Institute, which is a nonprofit civil liberties group, they're actually representing the guys. So let me look into this, and we'll see what's happening there. But Miss Janice, we appreciate you alerting us to this, and what a crazy story! I know CBN News, Christian Broadcasting News, has the story up on their website. So anyway, all right, Miss Janice, we got to scoot, but good hearing from you as always, the Queen of New Orleans. Let's go to North Carolina. Sean on the line. Hi, Sean. What's happening?
Hey, man. Good evening. I heard Biden talking on TV, and it's no wonder that China is out there getting ready to take over Taiwan. We can't even stop illegals and the drugs coming over on our borders. We can't even stop these kids running rampant downtown in our cities. So how are we going to stop another country from invading somebody else's border?
Well, China knows we're not. They know that we're not, and it's only a matter of time before they invade.
Amen to that, brother. And I hope by then Donald Trump is back in charge. So America can, we're the biggest joke out there right now. We're the biggest laughing stock.
It's embarrassing. I mean, it really is. But we've got an opportunity coming up to try to fix it, and I hope everybody gets out and votes. You know, Sean, we talked. Go ahead.
Amen. I hope we all get together. Instead of talking about it, we're all standing in line together, marking that box.
I'm telling you, I know people, and I'm one of them. I do believe there was voter fraud. But, Sean, if we would have had 50% of the Christian voters in America out at the ballot box, we wouldn't be having that conversation right now. We'd be knee deep in the second term of President Trump. So we've got to get our numbers out so we can compensate for the shenanigans at the ballot box.
What's happened the last year, couple of years that Biden's been in office. If that don't wake them up, nothing's going to wake them up. You might as well jump ship.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Sean, good hearing from you, my friend, and thanks for calling in today. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up, we're going to be talking to our good friend, Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee. He is the most recent senator to endorse President Trump for 2024, and that's exciting. So a lot of people, a lot of lawmakers jumping on board the Trump train. And I don't know what DeSantis is going to do. Maybe he's going to wait, see how things work out. But I'm not seeing people willing to change over just yet. I mean, these folks are jumping on the Trump train. So we'll see how all that goes. All right, folks, want to remind you, Mother's Day is coming up, and we have a wonderful, wonderful book. It was co-written by my dear friend Michelle Cox. It's called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl, and you can get the book at Amazon, your favorite bookstore. But if you would like a copy for Mother's Day, and if you'd like me to autograph that book, I would be honored to do so. You got to go to toddstearns.com and click on the store. Again, that's toddstearns.com. Click on our store link, and you'll find Our Daily Biscuit and lots of other great products for conservatives, including T-shirts, ball caps, the whole nine yards. So I really do hope that you check that out. And, of course, the breaking news from Fox, Dan Bongino is out. Something to do with contract negotiations. So we certainly wish Dan well. And, folks, it's a rough business at the network. What can I say? Been there, done that, 14 years. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. Good to have you back with us, everybody. Hope you're doing well today. Beautiful day out there across America. Certainly want to remember all those folks out in Oklahoma. We have a lot of listeners out there, and I know you folks had a rough night. What is about a dozen tornadoes moving through, so you guys be careful out there. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us my senator, and I'm proud to call him my senator. We're talking about Bill Hagerty from the Volunteer State. Senator, hope you're doing good today.
Doing great, Todd. It's always great to be on with you.
By the way, I have to brag on you, Senator. You were my CEO of my company lives in Wichita and was at a gathering where you spoke. And I'm telling you, the folks in Wichita love you.
Well, I had a great time being out there in Wichita and helping my good friend, Senator Marshall, who, of course, is from Kansas. And we have a great working relationship. It was really good to be out there with the folks in Wichita. A lot of similarities to Tennessee, I must say. You know, folks trying to get their companies back in order after this pandemic shutdown. People are trying to get folks to come back to work, given the fact the government has incentivized people not to work for so long. It's tough. It's tough all over.
Oh, it is. They just need a few more hills out there. It'd be beautiful country, though. It's a little too flat for my taste.
Nothing compares to Tennessee. You know my bias on that.
I know.
Folks in Kansas.
Absolutely. Well, we've got a lot to talk about. And first, let's start with this endorsement of President Trump. Was that a difficult decision for you to make, or did you know pretty much
not at all
along?
Not at all. And I tell you, I think the American public is going to become clearer and clearer for the American public. The reasons for my endorsement, because all you have to do is look at where we are today versus where we were 2.5-3 years ago when President Trump was in power. And when he was in office, we had an economy, Todd, that was growing at double the rate of any other major economy in the world. You know, we had a situation where America was respected again in the world as opposed to leading from behind. And there was a tremendous amount of work that we had to do in the Trump administration. You know, I served in the Trump administration.
Yes, you did.
We did a tremendous amount of work trying to restore our credibility as a nation. And the Biden administration, in shortly over 2 years, has done so much to destroy that. You think about Afghanistan. You think about collapsing our southern border. I mean, Joe Biden has made the United States of America a laughingstock. We've got former allies like France flying over to hug Xi Jinping and basically say, we need to go another path, not the American path. And you've got Xi Jinping stepping up, sending his emissaries over to broker Saudi Arabia and Iran. That would have never happened under President Trump. It's just shocking what this administration has done. And the contrast is going to become clearer and clearer for the United States public of the proven results that we got under President Trump and the disaster that President Joe Biden has delivered for us.
Senator, I want to, you know, just glean information from your knowledge on that area when you were ambassador. Of course, we had a caller just about 10 or 12 minutes or so ago and asked a question that I want to pose to you. He said, do you really think the Biden administration is going to defend Taiwan? I mean, this is a powder keg we're dealing with. And to your point and the endorsement of President Trump, I think Trump knew how to deal with China and that region much more effectively than the Biden administration.
Don, President Trump absolutely knew how to deal with Xi Jinping. I mean, I'll tell you a story that you know, but I don't know that all of our listeners do know this. That was Xi Jinping's first visit to the United States. He came to visit President Trump at his home in Florida at Mar-a-Lago. And President Trump was excused himself, stepped out to talk with the generals that were involved in the logistics of a situation in Syria that required dealing with. And President Trump gave the order right as the dessert was being served to go ahead and use Tomahawk missiles and hit the Syrians to punish them for crossing a red line that he delivered in terms of using chemical weapons on their people. The red line that Barack Obama would draw and not cross, President Trump proved that he was a man of his word. And Xi Jinping was there having dessert when that order was given, and he saw what happened, and he realized that he was dealing with a completely different sort of leader here, someone who was going to lead putting his country first, putting America first, and not lead from behind and ask for permission from the Europeans or others. That left, I think, a very strong impression in President Xi's mind. And when I got to Japan, you know, the Chinese Navy had been, they call it their Coast Guard, but they're armed, been circling Japanese islands. They've been, you know, threatening in the East China Sea and the South China Sea. That all pulled back. And we saw, you know, a very different landscape than the Obama administration had delivered us into. And that's because they knew President Trump's resolve. He was serious. He was going to put America first, and he was not going to tolerate the sort of, you know, predatory behavior that we see from China. Now we see from Russia, from Iran.
Senator, I want to talk about an issue very close to home, and it is the fentanyl crisis, this drug crisis in our country. You know, we were talking about this earlier in the program today. It's not that we have been invaded. Now we have been occupied. And the numbers of people coming across the border, these drug smugglers, and you delivered some pretty powerful remarks on the Senate floor imploring your colleagues to support this Stop Fentanyl Border Crossings Act. Tell us about it.
Well, it's something that I tried three times in the last Congress to bring to the floor. Each time the Democrats blocked me. But right now we're at the precipice of losing the very last tool our Border Patrol agents have. That's called Title 42. Title 42 is a health emergency rationale for turning people away at the border. The pandemic was the health emergency that they used Title 42 for. I want to modify that and say the biggest health emergency that we're facing right now is drug overdose. And if you look at what's killing people in America, the largest killer of young people in America between the ages of 18 and 45 today is death by drug overdose. The majority of that fentanyl coming from the CCP China over to Mexico, where they're working hand in hand with these billion-dollar drug cartels. They're using it to poison our kids. They're shoving it across that, you know, completely open border that Joe Biden has created. We lost over 100,000 lives last year due to this. And the Biden administration keeps looking the other way. They don't want to acknowledge it because they've been able to get close to 6 million people is the estimate right now, illegally across that border. Joe Biden wants to completely transform America, as he said, and they're flooding our nation with people we don't know who they are. The number of Chinese nationals that are coming across that border has gone up exponentially in the past year. We are being invaded. And we've got to bring it to an end. The fentanyl is the most deadly weapon that's coming across that border, but there's human trafficking. There are all kinds of illegal activity that's taking place. And this administration, the Biden administration, is inviting it to come to America.
And, of course, the big concern is what happens with Title 42 here.
Well, when it expires next month, my legislation that I brought back to the floor of the Senate yesterday and have filed again, I'm leading the Republicans in this effort, we're going to replace the pandemic as the health rationale with concerns about fentanyl crossing the border. And basically everything that happens at the border has fentanyl at the heart of it, because that is the big money crop, if you will, that the cartels are using. That's where they're driving people across the border, but that's just a way to bog down our Border Patrol agents so they can shove big shipments of fentanyl across other places. And by the way, a lot of these people that are coming across are involved in the fentanyl and drug trade as well. They may be unwittingly involved in it, but we're talking about human trafficking here. We're talking about the price that the cartel forces them to pay to enter this country illegally. And believe me, there's no supervision on our southern border on the American side, but on the northern border of Mexico, the cartels have it completely locked down. Nobody comes across that border unless they say so, unless they get paid, or unless they are helping, as a mule, as they call it, to bring drugs across that border.
All right. Well, folks, you've got some homework to do right after this show. You need to be calling your senator, doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, and tell them to support this great legislation from Senator Hagerty, the Stop Fentanyl Border Crossings Act, that Stop Fentanyl Border Crossings Act, and tell your senator to support this legislation. Senator, we always appreciate you taking time to join us on the national show.
Thank you, Todd. It's always great to be with you. Thanks for what you do.
All right, Senator Bill Hagerty, folks, the senator from Tennessee, junior senator, Senator Marsha Blackburn, the senior senator, and they're both doing a terrific job. Both, by the way, have endorsed President Trump. All right, we've got to take a break. Before we go, though, I've got to tell you about our good friends over at Patriot Mobile. They're just standing by right now to help you. Patriot Mobile is America's only conservative and Christian wireless carrier, and they've been so influential in helping swing a lot of school board races around the country. So they're very involved politically, and they have a great cell phone service. Now, if you're a veteran or a first responder, they're going to give you some really nice discounts. If you use my promo code, Todd, they're going to give you free Premier activation and a free gift. And here's how it works. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Use my promo code, Todd, and they're going to get you hooked up right away. You can also call 972-PATRIOT. We'll be right back. To appreciate the Democrats for at least being honest. So this is Congresswoman Jayapal. She's from Seattle. She's a radical Democrat, originally from India. So I hope I got the name right. If not, my apologies. It's not my privilege. I just have a bad time trying to figure out names. They're not spelled phonetically, so it is what it is. So, look, I want to play this audio. This is Democrat Congresswoman Jayapal defending the illegal alien invasion of America. Cut 12.
This country needs immigrants to survive. Immigrants pick the food we eat, rebuild our communities after climate disasters, help construct our infrastructure, power our small business economy, clean our homes, and look after the most precious in our families, our children and our elders.
Who's gonna mow the grass? Can you imagine if MTG would have gotten up there and said what this gal just said? All right, there you go. I want to play some audio here. A couple of months ago, we told you about this horrible incident at a volleyball match where a young biological girl was playing. There's a transgender dude on the other side of the net, and he spiked the ball on this poor girl's face. So now we know who she is. Her name is Peyton McNabb, and she was offering up testimony the other day of the impact these dudes with dresses are having on female sports. I want you to take a listen to Cut 11.
November 1st, 2022, I was severely injured in a high school volleyball game by a transgender athlete on the opposing team. I suffered from a concussion and neck injury that to this day I'm still recovering from. Other injuries I still suffer from today include impaired vision, partial paralysis on my right side, constant headaches as well as anxiety and depression. I was unable to play the rest of my last volleyball season, and although I'm currently playing softball, I'm not able to perform as well as I know I have in the past because of the injury. My ability to learn, retain, comprehend has also been impaired, and I require accommodations at school for testing because of this. I could go on and on about how this incident has affected my life, but I'm not here for that, because I'm not here for me. Because for me, I know that my time playing is coming to an end. I'm here for every biological female athlete behind me. My little sister, my cousins, my teammates. Allowing biological males to compete against biological females is dangerous. I may be the first to come before you with an injury, but if this doesn't pass, I won't be the last. The North Carolina High School Athletic Association policy states that it allows participation in interscholastic athletics for all students, regardless of gender or gender identification. It is the intent that all students are able to compete on a level playing field in a safe, competitive, and friendly environment, free of discrimination. Clearly, that does not include biological female athletes. My ability to compete was taken from me.
And it's true what she said. This is not going to be the first female that has been beaten by a man. And this is going to happen over and over and over again as more transgender people enter female sports. And unless we stop this from happening, you're going to end up having a female athlete get killed. Almost happened in a mixed martial arts match where a biological woman had her skull fractured by some grown man. Quite frankly, that guy should have been hauled out of there and he should have been arrested and charged with some sort of a crime. But that wasn't a crime. So what are you going to do? But it needs to be addressed. And the Biden administration they finally came to the decision. They're going to be standing alongside the women with male private parts, also called men. 844-747-8868. I got to get to this audio real quick. MTG, she was on a tear yesterday. So Eric Swalwell, who was doing the bang bang with Fang Fang, the Chinese spy, a little Mugu Gai Pan. And MTG called him out during a hearing yesterday. Cut number three.
I'm also concerned about people on this committee and their own anti-police rhetoric. This is a defund the FBI campaign effort.
That was quite entertaining from someone that had a sexual relationship with a Chinese spy, and everyone knows it. But
I move to take our words down. Completely inappropriate. Yeah, stand by just a second while we research the rule. Give me just a second.
Forget the rule.
The chair recognizes the gentlelady from Georgia and asks if she would like to retract those words.
No, I will not.
What they ought to be doing instead of researching the rules is researching the allegation. Mr. Swalwell, sir, is it true that you did the bang bang with the fang fang? Yes or no, sir? Yes or no? That's all you have to do. But again, it's all about rules of decorum. And I get that. But folks, we're in a street fight right now. Do you really want to make nice or do you want to get to the bottom of things? And it's really upsetting the Democrats because, by the way, when they're in charge, they do this kind of nonsense all the time. And I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with the Republicans stepping out and doing this. And the reason why is because everything they're saying is absolutely true. I'm telling you, it is. So we'll see how things go. It's going to get entertaining as we move forward. But as much as I like to be entertained, you know what I like even more? I like results. And we need to see a lot of these Democrats, we need to see them held accountable for what they've done to this country. You know, everybody's celebrating about Fox News and having to pay almost $800 million to Dominion. Well, I have a question. All you people in the mainstream media that are hooting and hollering and celebrating, Wait a second. Why aren't you writing checks to Donald Trump? Because you smeared his name. You slandered his name. You intentionally. As a matter of fact, if Trump were smart, he would be suing them right now. Well, Trump is smart, but he's not suing them, but he ought to. And you know why? Because they can prove malice. Trump's attorneys would be able to prove malice. And that's the legal issue here. Trump could end up owning CNN, MSDNC, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the whole lot of them. Ought to do it, Mr. President. Now, that'd be good TV to watch. All right, we got to scoot out of here. It's been a great day, America. Thanks for listening. This is the Todd Starnes Show.